everyone. Welcome to another exciting episode of Random Chatter. This is episode number 213, recording on Sunday, March 10th. And no, I am not Lou.
You look the same.
Yes, I am, in fact, the other half of Team Bald Guy. But no, I'm not Lou. It's Tim. There is no Liz. Liz is also gone. But there was a voice that you heard. Should be a pretty familiar voice. Hopefully you folks listen to Guardians of the MCU. If you don't, shame on you. No, not really. I would never insult our listeners like that. But that's John. Hi, John.
Hello, Tim. How are you?
I'm doing well. How's things going tonight?
Not too bad. Nice kind of rounding out a somewhat quiet weekend, which is always nice.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. So we're here. So we're here on Random Chatter. We're not here to talk Marvel stuff, although there's a big Marvel thing that happened this past weekend. You were part of it. I was part of it.
I did my due diligence.
Yeah, there were a lot of people like around the world that were part of it. So that's a really exciting thing. We're going to talk some about that. But first, as we traditionally do here now on Random Chatter, we kind of go through the what were you watching? And you have a handful of things on your watch list.
Apparently, I'm watching things and you're not.
Yeah, well, I mean, there's things that I haven't listed because they're just kind of like my normal, you know, TV watching thing. But we do want to hear from you, John, because you really don't get, you know, you're not part of this segment. So, you know, we kind of want to hear what you do watch.
So at the moment on the TV side of things, my kids are pretty much all Survivor all the time. So we are watching simultaneously the current season as well as at least one former season. But we rotate through and slowly go through all the seasons. But it does allow me to have access to the CBS Access app, which it does also then allow me to watch Star Trek, which is nice. Sure, but I'm all kind of caught up on that.
I'm amazed that Survivor is still like going. I think I watched through like the first three seasons and then I was kind of done with it.
It's I think season 39.
Oh, now. Crap. You're kidding.
No, I mean, they have people on it who watched it as a kid. If you think about it, the first season was 2000. So, you know,
I'm old.
Yeah. I mean, and you can play. And I mean, so you can play when you're 18. So, I mean, you think a 22-year-old was, you know, when this was first, you know, coming out, there were several seasons in by the time, you know, they were 6, 7, you know, theoretically watching it. So their entire life there's been Survivor. And Jeff Probst doesn't look like he aged a day.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, that's what money does for you.
Money and apparently living in the tropics almost all year long.
Yeah, yeah.
Watching that, doing a rewatch of Parenthood. I listened to Dax Shepard's podcast and realized there's a lot of Parenthood that I've forgotten.
So Eric listens to Dax Shepard's podcast also. We were doing, a Getting Sidetracked episode a couple weeks ago, and Eric mentioned that. He said it was really good.
Yeah.
Like almost surprisingly, because he kind of,
yes,
all of his characters, the characters he plays, he's just a dumbass. Mm-hmm. And I generally like really avoid his movies. I'm just not a fan of his, but apparently like as an individual, like as a person, he's like pretty intellectual and insightful.
And a very good interviewer as well.
Okay.
So they are actually quite enjoyable.
Good. I may have to check into that then.
Yeah. I can shoot you a couple that I thought were particularly good.
Cool.
And then wrapped up last week or so, the current run of what is available via Netflix on Shameless, which if you haven't seen it, it's stupid funny in all of the bad ways. Which is also interesting in seeing that now I'm going to draw a blank on his name, the actor who plays Jerome on Gotham.
Who we just talked about, we fan casted him.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, yeah, yeah. So he plays in Shameless as well. So it's very weird to see him in that role as well.
No, is he a psychotic in Shameless?
I mean, he's bipolar. I mean, oh, I wouldn't okay. call him psychotic. That's
right.
kind of mean. But other than that, no. I mean, it is interesting what he goes and has, you know, in some of the episodes and parts where he has, you know, manic periods. There are similarities.
Okay.
So that's it on the TV side. And, you know, then I did see a little movie this weekend. Actually, it wasn't even this weekend. I saw it Thursday night.
Yeah. Yeah. I didn't get to it until Friday rather, but it was nice because it was in a brand new theater with brand new leather reclining seats, reserve seating, all that stuff that like all modern theaters have that has, you know, finally caught up to my area. Captain Marvel. What did you think? Non-spoilery.
So if you listened to the episode of Guardians that Mike and I did, and we touched on it, and then actually Mike and I touched on it in Cape Chronicles, and you and I touched on it a little bit last week. I wasn't dying for this movie. You know, I obviously went and saw it opening night, but it wasn't something that, you know, I was, you know, hot damn ready to see. I liked it because my daughter was excited about it. Mm-hmm. And she's not always as big as excited about the Marvel movies. I have to say, I thoroughly enjoyed it.
Yeah.
I will agree with my original assessment that I gave before I saw it. And so that's not kind of spoilery because it's what I said before I saw it and was that I wish we'd gotten this a couple years ago.
Yeah.
But I don't think the timing was right. But I'm glad we got it now. I don't get what all the naysayers had to say about it. Was it a perfect film? No, there are few, if any, of those. I'm going to end up seeing it again. My son was unable to come with us due to a school event, so he and I will have to go and see it as well.
Yeah, we're definitely going to go see it again. It's totally worth it. I mean, you know, generally, if something is Marvel or Star Wars, I'm going to see it at least two or three times in the theater anyway. And this was just a good enough movie to see again. And a lot of folks, people who liked it the first time, went and saw it a second time and said, oh, my gosh, I like it even more now that I saw it a second time. Because
oh, interesting.
Okay. Yeah. You know, with a lot of movies, a lot of times it's just kind of the grandeur of the movie you're to an extent overwhelmed by. And so that second time you're familiar enough with the story and you can look at it in a little bit more detail and sometimes just simply be able to enjoy it even more. So I think it's great. I'm looking forward to seeing it again. My wife definitely wants to see it again. She really enjoyed it. So yeah, it should be great.
So, and I'm going to give a teaser for Guardians when we record and get Liz on and kind of do our full review. Mm-hmm. But a character in the movie is impacting the name of a family member. So we'll just leave it at that. But it is an inspiration from the movie is making changes to names in the family.
Ah, okay. And I think I know what you're talking about. I think you had mentioned it. I think you had texted me that.
Yeah, I probably texted you that.
So. Yes. Yeah. Yeah. So, yeah, we are that's probably some certainly worthwhile network news here is that in the next episode of Guardians of the MCU, which we're recording tomorrow night, we will be covering we're going to be doing a full spoiler-filled review of Captain Marvel. And actually look for – if you're listening to this episode of Random Chatter, our episode of Guardians will be coming out sooner. I know that we're 1 week behind in releasing Random Chatter episodes. So if you're listening to this, the episode of Guardians of the MCU should already be out. And that is Liz and John and I, along with Jovial J. Shepherd, who's going to be joining us to review the episode. So really looking forward to that. And in terms of the what are we watching, Captain Marvel is really the only notable thing on my list. Like I said, kind of the majority of things for me are just kind of the normal DVR TV things that my family and I watch. That's really about it. So to the box office. Of course, as expected, Captain Marvel took first place in the box office this weekend, actually beating most expectations, taking in about $153 million for the weekend, Jesus. Which is just absolutely fantastic. It's great numbers. We're actually going to talk a little bit more about those numbers in our news segment here, but that's just awesome. Second place in the box office, How to Train Your Dragon 3. Has held on in its third week, taking $14.7 million with a three-week total of just shy of $120 million. So that's doing pretty well. Madea's Family Funeral in its second week is third place, taking $12 million for a total of just about $46 million. Lego Movie 2 in its fifth week took $3.8 million with a total of $97.1 million. It's most certainly going to be breaking the $100 million mark. I don't know that it's going to get that much further. I mean, it's at $3.8 million, and things kind of tend to start to fizzle out pretty well at this point. But
yep.
it may take another 2 weeks, but it will break the $100 million mark. And then Alita Battle Angel, again, I'm putting my foot in my mouth on this one. This movie has certainly outperformed my expectations, and its fourth week is still in the top five, took in $3.2 million for a total of $78.3 million, and it will probably break $80 million, and it might even get up to like $85, depending on how long they hold on to it in theaters. Captain Marvel is certainly going to be taking a big chunk of things for the next several weeks that we expect. This coming week, we have Captive State, 5 Feet Apart, and Wonder Park coming out. And at the end of the month, we have Us, which has gotten some outstanding reviews from South by Southwest. We have Disney's Dumbo, so... You know, Disney putting out a big live action kids movie, I think, is going to also be swallowing up some big part of the box office. Us, obviously, being a horror movie, horror movies almost always do well in their opening. But this is Jordan Peele, who did Get Out. And so it's already got a lot of hype behind it. And it's going to take up a good chunk of market share there as well. And then finally, Unplanned is going to round out the wide release films coming out by the end of this month. Into the movie draft. Updating the movie draft numbers this afternoon was an interesting venture. Fred catapulted from like fourth place into the lead. And he is vociferously thanking Captain Marvel for that. Carrie is a very close second behind him, and then Andrea and April are pretty much vying for third place. Andrea is officially in third place right now, but April is like just a hair behind her. So with some upcoming movies through the end of March, again, I think with Us and Dumbo, those are two big movies that are going to really round out this particular season with the movie draft. And It's going to be interesting. I think it's going to be fairly close. We know that Lou is out of it. There were just too many movies that Lou lost that got rescheduled. And so it's just not going to happen for him. And Shannon is pretty far behind. So I don't know that she's going to be able to make up those numbers, especially with Fred having Captain Marvel. I just don't think that it's going to be possible there. So
do you think even with and Tim, I apologize, I forget, is it 300 million or 500 million, the cap?
Oh gosh. I think they adjusted it a little bit for this one. It might be, I think we're going to split the difference. I think it's 400 million.
Okay. And just wondering if it's, we think Captain Marvel's going to get that high, does that cap play in at all to your estimates?
Yeah, you know, it will. I mean, obviously it's going to reach the cap, but I don't know that anyone's going to be competitive enough to really be pushing those numbers anyway with Fred. I think that Fred locked it in having Captain Marvel.
Okay.
If you entertain folks here for a moment, I can take a quick look at what Carrie has.
So folks, while Tim is using the magic of the interweb, he jumped over Dumbo. So I don't get a chance to talk about non-Marvel movies very often. So I'm kind of looking forward to Dumbo. It was one of my favorite Disney cartoons growing up as a kid. I have always loved elephants, big ears flying. It's got Danny DeVito. Very curious. The trailer seemed, they've got a little bit scary parts, how that's going to play out
who's in it?
Kids. Danny DeVito.
No, Ava Green is in it.
So is Danny DeVito.
Yeah. I mean, I'm a Danny DeVito fan, but Ava Green is in it, dude. Ava Green.
That's fine. Jeez. I'm sorry. I'm entertaining the fans here while you're looking something up. Are you done?
I'm just telling you my wife is down with that hall pass. That's all I'm saying.
Okay.
And so anyhow, yeah, on the movie drafts, Carrie's done. There are no new movies coming out for Carrie. So she's going to continue, I think, drawing some good numbers from How to Train Your Dragon, a little bit more from Alita, but that's pretty much winding down, and that's really it. So, you know, How to Train Your Dragon is, I think, going to give her the most amount of income in this. Lou has Us. So, you know, he's not really competitive anymore. So really him having Us takes it away from the people who are competitive. And that's going to keep some of these numbers pretty tight, I think. Andrea has Wonder Park. I don't think Wonder Park's going to do all that great. April has 5 Feet Apart. That's unexpected to do incredibly well. Shannon has Dumbo, which I think is going to do well. But Shannon is significantly behind in the numbers. I don't think that's going to get her caught up. So, okay. At this point, I'm calling it for Fred. I'm going to make the early prediction and call it for Fred. So that's where I stand there.
All right. I mean, that seems fair.
Yeah. Yeah. Over on the audience draft side, Chickafint, she is leading. She's been leading, for a good part of this movie draft, followed by me. I was like last, I think. And having Captain Marvel gave me a big boost. So I came up second, and then after me is Erasure. So we're going to see how the audience draft plays out. Of course, there's nothing there in terms of a reward except for bragging rights. And bragging rights are definitely what I do not have on FML this week. Last week, I had first place in the Random Chatter League, and right now I'm holding like sixth place, but it drastically changed between Friday and Saturday's numbers. So we got to see how things round out tomorrow to see what happens with it. I was banking on more. The tough part is when you get a big release like Captain Marvel is that they split it through the weekend. So you don't get to just bet on Captain Marvel. You're betting on Captain Marvel Friday numbers, Saturday numbers, and Sunday numbers. And then you're kind of playing the percentages of, okay, which day do I think is going to do better? And that, of course, relative to the box office amount per price paid to get in your lineup. So that can be challenging. That can be challenging. So yeah, I bet heavily on Saturday, and Saturday just kind of didn't, you know,
didn't pan out for me.
Yeah, no, no. Friday, it looks like, was really the day, unless the Sunday numbers show a little bit bigger than expected. But so that's that on FML. You haven't played FML in a while, right, John? You haven't played this?
I haven't, only because I keep failing, because I don't want to jump in mid-season. You know, I want to jump when they reset. So, and then I quite honestly, I keep forgetting to look.
They just did reset. This is week two. Awesome. Yeah.
What I should probably just do is and here's the thing is I'm so uber competitive. I don't want to jump in late, jumping even on week two pretty much means I'm out. But what I just need to do is all right, flush the season, but then I'm getting back into the habit of doing it.
Yeah, exactly. And it gets your mind into the game, and you know, there's certainly some strategy to the game, and you're just playing it and you're having fun and you're still vying for the weekly numbers.
That's true.
You know, you might be out of it for the season, but at least for the week, you can still be competitive. So it's a good time. News. So let's see, as we mentioned, Captain Marvel has totally kicked ass this weekend. Looking at some numbers in the global box office, and I actually didn't pull up any kind of domestic facts and figures beyond just the box office number. But globally, Captain Marvel has scored the sixth highest worldwide opening of all time.
Wow.
Yeah. That puts it above Last Jedi. So that puts it in some seriously elite company. This was also the second largest global debut for a comic film. And what was number one?
Infinity War?
Yeah. So, I mean, that's serious.
So that's bigger than Black Panther.
It beat Black Panther. Yeah. It beat Black Panther, all the other Avengers movies. This is serious. It's certainly expected to cross 1 billion globally. Billion with a B.
Yeah.
So, yeah, Captain Marvel's not messing around. It has gotten such a great fan response. Don't pay attention to social media, folks, because you have all these weird trolls and haters out there who are simply hating on it because it's a female-led film, which is just absolutely ridiculous. Mm-hmm. If you're paying attention to them, you are robbing yourselves of a fun movie experience. And I gotta say, I thoroughly enjoyed Wonder Woman. I thought Wonder Woman was a great movie. Compared to Captain Marvel, Wonder Woman was good, bad, or indifferent. Wonder Woman was seemed to be much more heavy-handed with the "I'm a woman and this is a female-led film" kind of thing.
I 100% agree, but I think that's Wonder Woman's character. I mean, she's a goddess.
Yeah,
I mean, while it had some lighthearted moments, I don't think, based on her history, it could have come across that way.
Yeah. And I think what also weakened Wonder Woman to an extent, and I think that relationships, and not necessarily romantic relationships, but I think relationships, period, are obviously an important part of character development. Thus, they are a good part of stories and movies and that kind of stuff. There was, you know, this significant factor of this love story in Wonder Woman, and Captain Marvel makes it through the entire movie without any measure of a love story. They don't have to have one. It was about they had relationships, about camaraderie and about friendship and that kind of stuff. It didn't have to get into any romantic thing, which I thought was great. And I think that makes the character of Captain Marvel even stronger, because a lot of times, certainly sometimes for male characters, but very often for female characters, they tend to lean on romantic relationships. And I think that really robs characters of a lot of depth. And it's just something that they don't necessarily have to do. And so they did really well with the characterization of Captain Marvel. Mm-hmm. John, is there anything else? I mean, again, we're going to have a whole discussion on this tomorrow night, but is there anything else that you think worthwhile to bring up here in terms of Captain Marvel?
Just to kind of reiterate what you said, it's a good, fun movie.
Yeah.
I will the biggest question I get asked, and so I will answer it here, and I don't want to dissuade people from seeing it, and we may touch on this tomorrow a little bit as well, is, do you need to see this to see Endgame? And the answer I give is no. I don't think you need to see Captain Marvel to see Endgame. Will it make Endgame more enjoyable? Probably.
Totally.
But it's not like if you... Because I know most of the people that have asked me, quite honestly, it's because they've got young, like, under-a-year-old kids. And going out to see a movie is really hard at that age.
Sure.
And so, like, you know, to them, and they're huge Marvel fans, so it's to them, it's a question of, you know, do I really need to get a babysitter for this?
Yeah. Especially when Endgame comes out in like 40 days.
Yeah. And I know some people are on budgets, and I know some, you know, different life situations. Mm-hmm. So I do kind of throw that out there of if that's, you know, kind of a determining factor for folks. No. But definitely do, you know, see it if you can. And if you need to wait, you know, wait, and, you know, it's really not going to impact, you know, that at all.
Yeah. Yeah. But certainly if you can, do yourself a favor, go see this movie. It's a great movie on its own. And I also think it's a great movie as a contribution to the MCU. I mean, you get not only Captain Marvel, but you get you get some great Agent Coulson in this, although a little bit, not as much as I would have liked. You definitely get a lot of Nick Fury in it, and it's awesome. It's awesome. There's unexpected things that happen in this movie that I was absolutely thrilled with, and it's great. It's great. So let's see, news here, which doesn't so much impact me, just because I really haven't watched any of the Arrowverse shows that much. John, I know that at least at one point you were into them. I'm not sure if you still are.
I generally am. I don't like to. There are very few things I will watch that are released week to week. So I generally am about a season behind and will binge seasons after they come out.
Yep. Yeah. Yeah. A lot of people do that. So I guess the Arrow is ending after their upcoming season 8. Concerning its name, the Arrowverse, although I guess it's because Arrow was the first one, does this mean that the other series, Flash, Supergirl, et cetera, are they all going to be ending soon as well? Or what? What's going to happen there? Is there anything you know? Do we have to defer to Mike and Carrie over at DC Talk to get this question answered? What do we have to do?
I certainly think they're probably more up to date on it. I would say that given the success of the different shows, the fact that they're introducing Batwoman and developing a series for her, I don't think so. I mean, you know, I wonder, is it now the Flashverse? You know, if that's the case. Some of the cast, you know, have indicated that this will not be the end of them. And we've certainly seen in both The Flash and Legends that time travel, alternate dimensions, et cetera, exist and are possible for future cameos. So kind of curious to see how they end Green Arrow's run. Like, how do they leave the situation for that? But I don't think so. I've seen some of the speculation of, is this a similar to the Netflix canceling all of the Marvel shows, and, you know, will we see these start, you know, popping up on, you know, DC streaming service? I don't think that's the case. You know, it's sad, but I mean, it's an 8-year run. And I think some of those actors and actresses, and I think Stephen, is it Amell?
Yes.
I mean, the one kind of quote I saw from him is when he started this, he kind of sort of had a girl he was dating to, now he's married with kids. And I mean, 8 years is a lot of life. And think of how many people stay in the same job for 8 years in this day and age. some of them may just want to try and do different things. And I think that's complete. I mean, as fans, it makes us sad, but you also have to understand that, you know, they want to branch out too. And filming a series and staying in the shape he's got to do it and the training he's got to do, that's a lot of life commitment. So, you know, I kind of, you always hate to see an actor or an actress kind of, you know, depart. But at the same time, you have to wish them well in what they want to do for future endeavors.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, that's a good point. For as much as we love to see series perpetuate and even, you know, things like the MCU, I mean, it's been going on for a while and there's, you know, major actors who are kind of, for as much as they've enjoyed making the films and enjoyed getting the paychecks, they're kind of ready to move on to other things. So we do sometimes have to consider that the characters that we see, there are actors and actresses behind them who want to be able to do other things. Certainly Arrow has been like a central part of that universe. But as you mentioned, Batwoman is coming in, which I think is fantastic. And that will probably get me to watch. And hopefully it'll continue going strong. We'd mentioned earlier that Jordan Peele's Us is getting some excellent early reviews. They did a preview of it at South by Southwest, and this thing is expected to even potentially do better than Get Out. Obviously, to an extent, kind of riding on the coattails of Get Out and people now being familiar with Jordan Peele's work as a writer and director, being able to put out just really some fantastic, a fantastic film, especially kind of in that horror genre. And so it's helped really build a lot of anticipation for us, and really looking forward to see what that's going to do. Did you get a chance to see Get Out, John?
No, I'm not a horror fan.
I will tell you, Get Out is, I think even Liz saw it, and she generally shies.
Really?
She shies away from horror quite a bit. It's not like hardcore horror. There's not like jump scares in it. It's not like gory stuff. It's horror. It's classified as horror. I mean, it's a subgenre. I'd say it's more like a psychological thriller.
Okay.
Kind of thing. And I think that's what Us is also more geared toward.
Okay.
I will tell you, Get Out was just fantastic. It was an incredible movie. It was worth every bit of hype that was behind it. And I fully expect that Us is going to similarly deliver.
Okay.
So, yeah.
Interesting.
So actually kind of going back to Captain Marvel a bit, and John and I are going to cover this without really spoiling anything. We everyone probably knows that there was a Stan Lee cameo in Captain Marvel, and it was expected that there's still Stan Lee cameos yet to come in the next Spider-Man movie, and as well as also Endgame, because all these were filmed before he had passed away. The cameo in Captain Marvel, and without getting into the details of it, but it does have a very particular reference to Kevin Smith. And given the setting of this movie in the mid-90s, if you haven't yet seen Captain Marvel, you might be able to kind of guess what that is if you consider Kevin Smith's projects and their relationship to Stan Lee. And apparently this was not known. The substance of this cameo was not known to Kevin Smith. And after he saw Captain Marvel, he had put out a tweet about how like emotionally wrecked he was after seeing that. And he did a selfie and like he had tears in his eyes with this. It was incredible. I mean, I don't blame him for it. It's just awesome to have someone who is so iconic as Stan Lee to, you know, talk about you or something that you created. And obviously even more meaningful now that Stan is gone. I don't know what else there is to say about this without.
It's one of the cooler cameos.
Yeah. Yeah. It really is. It really is. And of course I think we're looking out for them now even more and maybe paying attention to them even more because Stan is gone and we know that these are his last few. There is also at the beginning of the movie, technically even before the beginning of the movie, there is a really cool Stan Lee tribute.
Yeah, I was going to say, can we talk about that?
Yeah, yeah, because that's not really spoiling anything. Go ahead, John.
So we're all used to the quintessential Marvel. That's not a trailer.
It's like an introduction.
Introduction. Thank you. I was like at the start of things.
Yeah.
Introduction. me and English, we're fluent. So with showing the different characters, in the different movies and in pretty iconic scenes, you know, as the kind of the word Marvel is spelled out, they have changed that, and it is now all of Stan Lee's cameos in the different movies. So a very nice tribute and homage to Stan Lee and his role in the MCU over all of these years. And Tim, I don't know about you, but in my theater, it received a round of applause.
Yeah,
from everybody once people kind of realized what was going on.
Yeah, totally. It was it was really cool. So it's like, you know, they kind of do at the beginning of the Marvel films like that montage, like flipping through comic books. And so they turn stills from the movies into comic book panels and that kind of stuff. But they did this with the Stan Lee cameos. And, it's cool. It's very brief. It's, I don't know, 15, 20 seconds. It's not very much. And what was the thing they put at the end of it? It was like, thank you, Stan.
Yes.
I think, yeah. And it's appropriate and it's meaningful and it's perfect. I mean, it's exactly what they needed to do. And it was respectful and it was, I think, everything that we needed to have.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I don't know, without getting like overly emotional about Stan Lee again, I think that's all I'm going to say about it. So, so Critical Role, John, I know that you are a D&D player from way back when.
Yeah. And actually, so I have no idea who or what Critical Role is. I clicked on the link you had there and I'm still a little bit confused about it, but no, I mean, I played into my 20s and did everything from player to dungeon master. So what is Critical Role?
So Critical Role is a group of people, and of course, you know, everyone now does things on YouTube, I think, except us, really. So Critical Role does a very successful, a very popular weekly role-playing show, and the vast majority of it is centered on D&D, on Dungeons & Dragons. So they had an idea of basically doing an animated feature around one of their campaigns, Vox Machina. And you probably remember the old the original animated Dungeons and Dragons show, right?
From, I love
1980
that.
Something.
Oh, yes, that's awesome.
Yeah. So there really hasn't been anything since then for D&D, really. And so the folks at Critical Role said, "Okay, hey, we would love to do something like this. We obviously can't fund it ourselves." They put up a Kickstarter that had an initial goal of like $750,000. It was very, very modest to cover, you know, whatever production costs that they would have for this. Within something like 48 hours.
Yeah, they killed it.
They raised $5.75 million.
Jesus.
So from $750,000 to $5.75 million. In less than a day. That's sick. That's amazing. That's incredible. Yeah. So they are now, they expanded the scope of their project, which is called The Legend of Vox Machina, to be a multi-episodic with several notable arcs within this particular campaign. And I think that this is awesome. I'm really looking forward to this. I don't believe that they say where this is going to go in terms of where it's going to be able to be found. They are billing this as, quote, the best goddamn cartoon anyone has ever seen.
I did like that.
Yeah. Yeah. I guess they had talked about expanding it to 6 episodes. They're now talking about 10 episodes. And of course, it could go past that. Yeah, again, I don't see if they've actually committed to a distributor yet, or if they're just going to distribute it themselves. Maybe just put it on YouTube themselves. I don't know. But that's awesome. So, you know, with that kind of money behind it, hopefully they can get some great writers and great editors and directors and some good voice actors and great animators. And I mean, everyone else who's part of these teams of doing something great. And, you know, with $5 million can like go away very quickly, but $5 million can also get you a lot of stuff.
It can get you a lot of stuff.
So, yeah. Yeah. So hopefully they find some great people and do something really cool with that. I think that's awesome. Good for them. And I'm looking forward to watching it. I think it'll be awesome. PS4 is now available for remote play by way of iOS. I can't remember. What gaming system do you have, John?
We're an Xbox family.
Ah, you're an Xbox family.
Though I did have a conversation with a friend of mine today based on the Spider-Man game and the potential for that. And if I maybe needed to be more than one.
Ah, okay. So the article here from Screen Rant says that when PS4 users updated their consoles to the latest 6.5.0 firmware this week, they received an update that allows them to use the remote play feature on iOS devices. Remote play has previously been a feature in Sony's handheld platforms such as PlayStation Portable and the soon-to-be-defunct PlayStation Vita, but bringing the feature to iOS will give even more users the opportunity to try it out. So obviously you'll be able to use it on your iPhones, iPads, that kind of stuff. You have to have a PS4 and a PS4 account, and it will allow you to do things. From the stuff that I've seen, apparently the controls are on screen, so it does not allow you to actually use their DualShock controller. So I guess that's a little awkward.
Mm-hmm.
On one hand, I guess it's great that like you can be anywhere and obviously you only need your mobile device to play. But there are some folks who've said, well, gee, it would be cool. Like I could set up my iPad wherever. And so I bring my iPad, my controller, and I can play, because playing on a controller and playing on an iPad are very, very different things, mm-hmm. very different experiences. I mean, you can have a huge degradation of skill level going from a controller, if that's what you're used to having to play on a touchscreen. So I'm sure we're going to see some further evolution of that. And I think that this is kind of the PlayStation folks, Sony, trying to compete with the Nintendo Switch.
Yeah, that's to me what it sounds like.
Yeah. And it's kind of a smart move by them that saying, hey, you don't have to go out and buy a completely new system or a completely new thing. If you already have this and you happen to have an iOS device, you're good. You're golden. Of course, people who have mobile devices that are not iOS are a little upset about it. Maybe we'll see it move over to Android. Maybe we won't. Sometimes these things happen. Sometimes they don't. It's all business. Mm-hmm. That's what it comes down to. It's all business.
Absolutely.
So, but yeah, that's a cool thing that's out there. In case people aren't aware, or in case maybe that helps to entice them to go to PS4 because of that. So on to reboots, remakes, and sequels. Lord of the Rings.
Big fan.
Yeah, yeah, same here. We've talked in the past about Amazon getting licensing rights or permissions, I guess, to do a series on Lord of the Rings. And there's been some news that's come out on that recently. First of all, they've already begun promotion on this. They've they're in pre-production, but they're already starting to promote it, which I think is pretty big. And I think that's going to get them some more subscribers, be it, you know, by way of Amazon Prime or directly to the Amazon Video subscribers. The release for this is still kind of unknown. It's expected that it's going to be 2021, but some folks are thinking it could be as early as the holiday season of 2020. The main reason there is because that will be the end of Man in the High Castle. And so Amazon, so Amazon not wanting to lose steam with one of their major series will probably want to jump directly from, you know, have people jump directly from one to the other. So I think that's certainly viable. Within the universe, it's expected to take place in the Second Age, potentially. So the Second Age is before the Lord of the Rings films. It's also before the Hobbit films. And so potentially focusing on the time of the actual forging of the Rings of Power, other events like the founding of Mordor and the rise of Sauron. So I think there's some really cool things to do with this. You know, we see what has been done with Game of Thrones. We see what has been done with other incredible series, which are like so immersive and providing so much detail. I totally expect this from Amazon's Lord of the Rings.
Yeah. I mean, it's one of those where I think you're going to have a lot of naysayers because of the original movies. And just because some people just don't want anything kind of touched. Amazon's done pretty good so far.
Yeah, they've certainly delivered. I mean, they're lagging behind a little bit in some of their, you know, Amazon original stuff. Although, you know, again, Man from the High Castle has gotten some really good praise. I've actually only watched the first season of it. I kind of need to catch up on it. The first season was really good. I enjoyed it. Have you watched it, John?
I watched the first season. I'm going to be honest. I haven't really watched much of the second season.
Okay.
Like I started it. It's one of those, and I'm a history major. I love alternate universe, like history stuff. I am having such a hard time enjoying it.
Hmm. Okay. That fair enough. And I can say there were some of the episodes in the first season for me that, like, they didn't seem to go anywhere. And I get that when they have, you know, hey, we have an order of whatever, 13 episodes, we have to get from point A to point B. They meter out the major plot points and they say, wow, okay, we have 3 episodes worth of time that we have to cover. What are we going to do?
Yep.
So they put in, I mean, I'm always very reluctant to use the term filler. I think it's almost kind of insulting that, you know, creatives don't create filler, whether it's in animation or live action. I mean, they're still trying to put out good quality stuff.
Oh, agree.
But they're side stories, basically. They're creating additional background and that kind of stuff. But let's see, Bond 25, still not a whole heck of a lot of information on that, but we do have some information that they are apparently filming a massive action sequence in southern Italy in July. There's some speculation that this is going to be the opening sequence, and a lot of times the opening sequences of Bond movies are these very big action-packed things, so maybe this is it. The Rami Malek thing is still being milled about as a rumor. But there are some folks in the know reporting that he has been able to work out a filming schedule that won't conflict with the fourth and final season of Mr. Robot, which is really good news. I think Rami Malek is perfectly primed to be the Bond villain for Bond 25, especially coming off of Bohemian Rhapsody and all that stuff. So
interesting.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, and Tim, you're a way bigger Bond fan than I am. And so this kind of caught me a little bit with the Southern Italy. Didn't I see something that they were also filming in London?
Oh, I'm sure they probably are. Pinewood London is where their main stage is anyway. So and to do stuff out and about in London is kind of a normal thing.
I thought I'd read something that they were doing big filming in London, and they thought that was going to be the opening sequence in London.
Oh, and it very well could be. I mean, this thing in Italy could be another action scene. Could be anything. You want to take the Suicide Squad one?
No, because I was Googling Bond 25 opening scene.
Fair enough. So the Suicide Squad sequel, which is being done by James Gunn. We've talked about this before, both here and in Guardians of the MCU. We miss you, James Gunn. They are going to be replacing Will Smith, who played Deadshot, with Idris Elba to also play Deadshot. Which, I mean, if you had to replace Will Smith, I think that's a great choice for a replacement. I'm a big fan of Idris Elba. I think he's awesome. He's an MCU guy. He's just been in like so many fantastic movies. So I think it's cool for him to be in this. I don't think I ever saw why Will Smith had to be recast. I don't know if it was a scheduling conflict or he was only contracted for the first movie. I don't know what the situation was there. And this Suicide Squad sequel is also going to have some new characters introduced into it. At least characters that are new to the big screen, such as King Shark, Peacemaker, and Polka Dot Man. I have no idea who Polka Dot Man is, John.
And neither do I.
Okay.
And the only reason I know who King Shark is because of the Arrowverse.
Okay. We're going to have to defer to Mike and Carrie over on DC Talk for that one.
However, I do like Idris Elba, so I'm okay. I'm okay with that. I thought Suicide Squad was a decent movie. I mean, it was
I fun, enjoyed it. Yeah, I thoroughly enjoyed Suicide Squad. I thought it was a great movie.
You know, I mean, it's James Gunn. You know, I think they did good with the first one. I'll go and see it. I might actually even go see it in the theater, which is unusual for me in a DC movie. No offense, Mike and Carrie.
It's also rumored that James Gunn is courting Dave Bautista to play a role in it.
I'm not surprised.
Yeah, I'm not surprised either. It's totally believable.
So speaking of sidebar, and you mentioned his name, and it has not come up on Guardians of the MCU at all. So I don't want to forget and pigeonhole it and forget to talk about it tomorrow. Do you know Batista has gone back to the WWE?
No.
This was a week or two ago. It was Ric Flair, who is a legend in professional wrestling, his quote-unquote birthday, and I don't remember, and for those of you that can't see because we don't do YouTube, I'm using air quotes. And basically, like, you know, Batista, like, just shows up, goes into Ric Flair's dressing room while everyone's waiting out in the ring for the birthday boy to come down and, you know, beats him up and essentially challenges Hunter Hearst Helmsley, Triple H, who is now an executive within the organization and a kind of part-time wrestler. And this is all assuming that this is leading for a big WrestleMania match. What makes this interesting, and people, if you're still listening, because I've talked about wrestling now, what makes this interesting is when Guardians first came out, the first movie, Batista went back to the WWE, where he really got his roots from. And it was not a very good run. And he was kind of booed out after his final match. Like, it was, he left with a bad taste in his mouth from the experience, from the organization. And I mean, we all know this is scripted, but it is scripted, but it's, you know, large physical men putting their bodies on the line inside a ring. Things happen. Injuries happen. Batista does not need the WWE. And for him to go back and put his body on the... I mean, it'd almost be at this point like The Rock stepping back in the ring again. The Rock does not need the WWE. So it's just interesting. And the speculation for why he's come back, and I'll be honest, I haven't read much about it, is because a match against Triple H, who he has a long history with, at WrestleMania, is the one match he never got. and the one match he's always wanted. So, I mean, I think this is just, it probably came up. It's WrestleMania's right around the time of Guardians. You know, it is, you know, an opportunity for him to kind of have that. So it'll be interesting to see. But I mean, it was, I think I saw it on CNN. I mean, it was somewhere like out of the blue, but I was like, wait, what? Because I don't watch it anymore. But, you know, just interesting that, you know, all of a sudden he's back in wrestling for a short time.
Right. Interesting.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's see. Last item we have here is that, so I think we've mentioned before that they are doing, and it should be no surprise to anyone, they're doing a live action Cruella movie. So this was essentially supposed to be set as a prequel to 101 Dalmatians. Emma Stone is headlining it as a young Cruella de Vil.
Interesting.
Apparently is really going to be the heroine of the movie. And so we're apparently going to see how she was kind of, you know, drawn to the dark side, if you will, and what really made her the Cruella that we know from 101 Dalmatians. So she needs to have a villain cast opposite her. And it seems that Nicole Kidman is in heavy consideration for the role of this mysterious villain, which is yet to be named. I mean, right away, this seems like a great cast for a movie, and Disney just continues to draw in terrific names. I mean, Emma Stone alone is fantastic, but then Emma Stone with Nicole Kidman, and I think that's great. I think that's a formula for a terrific film.
Absolutely.
And, you know, we kind of roll our eyes a little bit at these live action remakes that Disney's doing. I mean, again, it really becomes no big surprise to us. But they've been doing really well with them.
Yes. I, like many people, have issues with Will Smith as the genie.
Well, we have yet to see, in all fairness, we have yet to see what that actually turns out to be.
We do. And it is nothing against Will Smith. I am a huge Will Smith fan. One day, Tim may get my Will Smith story out of me for the podcast universe.
Do I know this story?
I don't know if you know this story. But I have an incredible soft spot in my heart for Robin Williams. So
yeah.
Anyone touching something Robin did, I instantly kind of coil at.
I have a lot of, love for Robin Williams too. And, but I think, you know, as with a lot of things, it kind of comes to a point that if we know that these studios want to keep up with trends, and we know that they want to make money. Again, I mean, on a lot of shows, I always bring things back to economics. We know that they want to make money. And they also kind of want to refresh things for new generations, and while also still making them relevant for generations who maybe grew up with these, and it makes it somewhat nostalgic for us. So obviously with the death of Robin Williams, we have to accept that. We have to accept it as fact, and we have to accept that, I mean, for as maybe cruel as it sounds, we have to move on. We have to let go, and we have to move on. And I would not have originally thought of Will Smith to be in that role, especially with how Robin Williams voiced it. And, you know, we think of Robin Williams, we think of a comedian. We think of someone who is a character actor who can do, you know, those immersive things and those voices and all that. And while Will Smith definitely has a great comedic side to him, he's just not the person that we would have thought of, especially for a live action type of thing. But he's so great. I'm glad that he's doing it. I'm glad that it's him. There's a very short list of actors, I think, who I would, you know, ever want to see in this. I think the biggest thing out there right now is he going to be blue or is he going to be black? I mean,
I think he's going to be blue.
Like they first introduced him and it was Will Smith in the skin. He was a black dude. And there was some backlash over that because everyone's like, well, Genie's blue. And then they come out with this trailer and, well, now Will Smith is blue. And there was some backlash over that. Like, well, that looks silly. Well, folks, make up your mind. Do you want Genie to be blue or not? And we had some of this discussion on Discord a few weeks ago that, like, okay, I mean, like, I even did a little bit of research back through, like, some of the, you know, so-called Arabian Nights subgenre of films where we, you know, had genies and such. And none of them were blue. So the blue skin tone of Genie from Aladdin is completely a Disney construct. And on one hand, I get Disney wanting to kind of continue on with that representation, that almost trademark, if you will, that, like, hey, we have a genie and it's blue, and that's one of the things that makes him so recognizable. But on the other hand, he doesn't have to be, and I don't know why we can't just have Will Smith as Will Smith. And I'm surprised that I haven't seen things getting into, like, as we often do with, like, racial issues, like, well, it's mm-hmm. he's being played by a black guy. Why aren't we showing him being black? Why do we have to change his color? I'm surprised we haven't seen that yet. And maybe some of those discussions True. Are out there and we just haven't seen them, or at least I haven't, or maybe they're going to come up more in the movie. And there's still even some consideration that, like, all right, so they showed us this trailer and he's blue, but does that necessarily mean that he's going to be blue in the movie, especially when the first look we got of him, he wasn't?
Yeah.
You know, maybe he's going to be blue for a small period of time, but then he's going to be, you know, just Will Smith, black dude, or, you know, we don't really know what they're going to do with it. It very well could have been that based on the feedback that they got from the first look, that they went back and in post-production said, okay, we're going to make Will Smith blue yeah. through the whole movie. And the thing is, it wasn't good blue. That's the problem. I mean, that's another issue there, but that was just a trailer. So
it looks like rushed CGI.
Yeah, yeah, it really does. It really does. So, yeah, you know, it has yet to be seen. It's probably one of the live action remakes that I will go see in a theater.
Okay.
I did not see Beauty and the Beast in the theater. I actually ended up seeing it on an airplane, and I was hugely impressed by it. I then was like, I watched it, and I'm like, oh my God, I understand the hype now.
Yeah, I saw that. I didn't see the Jungle Book.
I didn't either. They didn't have as much hype, though.
Okay. Yeah. And Lion King's not out yet, is it?
No.
Okay.
No, that's later this year.
Okay.
So that's that. Anything else that you want to bring up for the good of the network, the good of the listeners, our wonderful listeners who support us and follow us and do great things for us?
I don't think so, except that I was 100% wrong on the James Bond 25 and opening sequence in London. For some reason, the article I saw mentioned London, but then it went on to say that they think that the opening sequence is being filmed in southern Italy.
Hmm.
So I was wrong. Power of the internet.
That's fine. That's fine. And keep in mind, the internet isn't always right either. So
weird.
Yeah. Yeah. It's kind of strange how that happens. So for our closing, John, you're going to be me and I'm going to be Lou and Liz. How about that?
Okay. Sounds good.
All right. So, folks, as usual, we always love to have your feedback. You can get a hold of us in a number of ways. One of them is by email. You can send us an email to randomchatter@randomchatter.com. You can also find us online. Twitter is a great way of doing so. You can hit up the network on Twitter with the handle @randomchatter. You can find me @QuiGonTim. That's Tim with two M's. You can find Liz @TWTAboutLizzie. And you can find Lou @LouSkywalker. That's Skywalker without the E. And John gave up on Twitter.
I did.
So that's fine.
Yep.
Instagram, you can find Random Chatter on Instagram, just simply Random Chatter. Liz is there. The wonderful thing about Lizzie, and Lou is on Instagram, Lou Secchi, and also Six Inch Hero. John, you do have a proclivity for Instagram. I don't know. Do you want to throw that up on here?
Yeah, you can find me at _John, J-O-N, Stewart, S-T-E-W-A-R-T.
And there you go. There you have it.
You can find all of our shows at randomchatter.com. Please be sure to give a listen to all the shows. I feel like we mentioned a good chunk of them.
Yes.
And then I'm beginning to feel bad for the ones we didn't mention. But I'm only a guest host, so you have to blame Liz.
And Lou.
Continue to spread the word. Leave reviews on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play. Tell your friends about us. Real Life True Story on Friday was at my daughter's parent-teacher conference and got into a huge in-depth conversation with her homeroom teacher about Marvel and sent her the links to several shows on the network, and she had no idea there were podcasts on things like Star Wars, DC, and Marvel. And was very excited to know that there were fellow dorks, as she put it, out there listening. Continue to support us over at Patreon, randomchatter.com/Patreon. Now at Discord, you can also join us there. It's the best way to get a hold of the host in all of the free show channels. If you contribute via Patreon, you get access to all of the Discord channels, but it is really a great community and a great way to interact with folks across the network.
Terrific. The music you hear on Random Chatter is The Perfect Heist by Blue Staly. And for Liz and Lou and John and me, thank you very much for listening, and we will catch you next week.